Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Looking out my window, good beautiful morning here in Jerusalem. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Good Thursday morning, good Wednesday evening to my friends. It's like Romper Room, remember? Mirror, mirror. To my friends in the States, in Israel, Canada, the United Kingdom, South Africa, Ireland, Germany, Australia, Sweden, and anybody else listening in. The chat room is open. Drop me a note. Tell me where you're listening in from. I know that Hannah is in her cottage by the sea, that barely misses a week, and I hope you're listening in too. Today's show is called, The World is a Flame, The World is a Fire, and Heaven Weeps. Indeed, nobody listening in this morning is unaware or even immune to the licking flames on the curtains of our respective homes. Scary stuff going on. We're going to talk about it. And again, we're going to talk about how creepily, eerily, how holy the Torah portion of the week actually connects to the life events. Just on a personal note, I need to share with you that I am back in quarantine, okay? Anybody who's been in my home and been with me this past week, you are not in danger. I am merely back in quarantine because my husband, the blessed Ronnie, received notice from the National Health Service that he was somewhere in the orbit of someone who was diagnosed with COVID-19 in Tel Aviv. And he was told to take to quarantine. Well, I got to tell you something. We're a very tight couple. We are never separate. I am with him, except for when he goes to the men's room. I picked up the Chinese food while he sat at the table outside. And indeed, I left something in the car and ran back while he stood at the foot of an elevator. So somehow I was immune. He is in the orbit. He's in quarantine, and we're a very together couple. So I have quarantined myself. This is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. I'll speak with you on the other side.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. Yeah, all right. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Hold on. I have to have the producer turn on the light in this room. I'm having a blind moment. 1 second. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Such a professional system. I'm shouting, hey, you. Okay, so I mentioned before the break that I'm back in quarantine, self-imposed. But you know what? I could use another weekday quarantine. It's getting very, very bleak, very sad, where, you know, it takes the whole saying, it takes a village. The whole world has become a village, a burning village, a scary village, a horrifying village. And look, anybody who's listened to the show in, oh, good morning. We have the Netherlands has joined us. Good morning, Netherlands. Okay. Anyone who listens to the show, anybody who has heard my voice pretty much knows the deal they're going to get listening to pull up a chair. I'm not going to pretend to be something that I'm not. And you know where the exit and the delete button is on your computer. I may say things that make people gasp, and I'm sorry. You know, it's the mic. I'm not sorry. It's my mic. And Baruch Hashem, thank God we have, in many ways, everybody can do a podcast today. Everybody, just Google how to do it. Everyone and their brother. So you know what you're going to hear on this show. And the one thing you are never going to hear is a celebration of victimhood. Now, I know just as the world is burning and there are supposed victims plastered all over the front pages of both printed news as well as all over the internet. I had a very humbling experience from one of my daughters, actually, goes to some groups, some family groups. She has a sick child. I have a grandchild with a permanent illness, and she goes to these groups, and she called me one day, and she said, you know what? Nothing to do with this. Chicago wasn't burning. Minneapolis wasn't burning at the time. And she said, screw victimhood. It was crazy. She said, things don't happen to us. And we're not set in stone or feet in cement bricks because our parents divorced or a sibling was ill or our husband spoke unkindly to us. You know, if my kid is a thug, if my child is a creep, if my child is a bully, and if my child gets bullied, it's not because of Bibi Netanyahu. It's not because of Donald Trump. I'd like to think it's not exactly because of me. It is. And these things have to be addressed. But what is this obsession with excuses, no personal responsibility? No one's standing, well, I'm going to say something right here now. Not color. Color, ethnicity, religion, religiosity, or lack thereof, it doesn't define your future. And you know what? Your bank account doesn't define your future. Your height, your weight, your intellect, your muscle tone does not define your future. Aspects, conditions, abilities, non-abilities, indeed, there may be an impact on your journey. All of the, quote, negatives, unquote, might force you to make alternative choices, carve new highways, forge different streams. We got a little, I think a little sound of music going on there. Build alternative castles. But what defines your future? Your choices. Always, everywhere, even if locked in a box, even in a safe room, even in isolation, there are choices. Every one of us has to ask ourselves every day, is this a day that I have to work harder? And maybe working harder may not bring me to the conclusion of my dream. But our jobs on this earth are not to win, not to conquer. Don't buy into that crappy buy-in. Each one of us is to stand on the top of our own figurative mountains and shout, I'm trying, I'm climbing, I'm working. Not to say I did it, I'm done, leaves nothing to no one. Your job, my job, our job is a job to strive, to invest, to live our lives, to live, to make every moment of our existence, every one of us, whether we live in a grass hut, in a jungle, in a forest, or we live in a Manhattan high rise, to live our lives as messages, to live our lives in the interest of community building, to live our lives as respective Tselem Elohim, God's images. We're made in his image of giving, of loving, of bolstering, of representing, of establishing blueprints, just as the Torah is a blueprint for a good life, a meaningful life, a loving life, every step of the way, every moment of our existence on that 24-hour clock that I draw every morning in my prayers. And if at the end of my earthly days, those days as we know it, we've merely created a lovely and strong cobblestone, merely a cobblestone on a highway toward redemption, we haven't just completed our mission. We've created the world, that mission, that world. It's a mission whose details we're not privy to. Who the hell do we think we are? The victims. We don't know what's recorded in the sealed envelope that lies on heaven's mantelpiece. It's a mission that we're charged with executing. We're not free to reject it. We're not free to rework it, reconsider it, or desist. Please, my friends, I beseech everyone listening this morning from whatever corner, whatever little square block or yardage of God's glorious world that you inhabit and want to make better and richer and happier, act accordingly. Let's all of us breathe in, breathe out, curb the rage, double down on the goodness, double down on the holiness, because I got to tell you something, it's the only antidote, the only remedy. It's not a cop-out, as some of you will charge me with. It's the only remedy that remains steadfast throughout the annals of human history. Oh, I know, battles are recorded. Weaponry has its own museums. Listen, I live in the Middle East. But you know those bedtime stories, those Zoom tales that we share with children and grandchildren and strangers? They're the stories of heroes who fed and clothed others, who planted fields, and who walked in his way. Each of us are overwhelmed, overburdened, have sacks and satchels of choice. Each one of us can choose our legacy. I'm asking everyone listening in and who can in time pass on this story. Let all of us live this mission. Okay, that is my powerful introduction. I don't know, I feel that it was powerful. Reading all week, stories of Black Jews who are sitting amidst this. Minneapolis Jews, indeed, California Jews. I don't know what it feels like. I cannot tell you. I'm looking here. I cannot tell you what it feels like to be a Black woman. I'm not Black. I'm not particularly white. I really don't think the Jews are Caucasians, but that is a little bit of a conflict, a machlochis that I go through with my husband. But you know what? To keep people oppressed, I know a little bit about oppression, and again, is to tell them that they're victims. You know, I'm going to get back into this piece later. What I am going to tell you in my last few moments before we go off air was I was terribly moved. I found myself sobbing, watching the Richmond, I think it was Richmond, Virginia, police chief. What's his name? Oh, I can't remember his name. Smith is his last name. Smith. I don't know his first name. If you know it, type it in. Richmond police chief Smith was so out of control. He was crying because he had just come back from the site of an intentionally set fire to a home with a child inside. And he was crying. He said, you know, last night protesters intentionally set fire to an occupied building on Broad Street. so many have been occupied. It was, I tell you, it was so heartbreaking to see this man. He couldn't go on. They got the child out. They managed to do it. But these riots are riots against people, against property, burning communities that will take forever. I'm reminded of my own father sitting in his own store window. Will Smith, William Smith. Thank you, Hannah, for telling me William Smith. We'll talk more when I get back. I have to have a drink of water. Children. The children.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Okay, we're back. Andrea Simonjo, pull up a chair. I am so composed. Hello. I have composed myself. I have all my favorite things. I want to do something a little bit upbeat, just a tad upbeat, before I talk about that creep, Mohammed Abbas. Okay, not that I have an opinion. Came across as actually my husband, who is like just the nicest man in the world. Okay, I really wish he had a nicer wife. Anyway, so he pointed out to me a cute thing for us to take into our week. And of course, when we get to the Devar Torah section, the section that discusses this week's chapter of Torah, we're going to talk about how it connects. But my husband came across, he said to me, he found something about Charlie Chaplin. We all remember the comedian Charlie Chaplin, but he wasn't just a yuck-yuck guy, very poignant. His little tramp was really quite the political message, quite the emotional and spiritual message. So Charlie Chaplin was 88 years, I believe, when he died. And this is attributed to him. And I want to just share this with you. And if you want me to send it to you in print, just drop me a note, Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Just as if I read a story, if I make a quote, there's anything you want to know the source and you want to get a link to it, drop me a note, same address. And I will. Everything I do on this show is sourced, except when I get annoyed. That's sourced from my belly, and that you're not getting an email address to. Okay, Charlie Chaplin. He left us four statements. One, nothing is forever in this world, even our problems. I love to walk in the rain, he says, because nobody can see my tears. Choice. Remember, we talked about choice. The most lost day in life is the day we don't laugh. No argument from Andrea. Six of the best doctors in the world. Best doctors. Sun, rest, exercise, diet, self-respect, and friends. Keep all of these in all stages of your life and enjoy the healthy life. According to Chaplin, if you see the moon, you will see the beauty of God. If you see the sun, you will see the power of God. If you see a mirror, you will see God's best creation. So believe it. We are all tourists. God is our travel agent who has already defined our routes, bookings, and directions. Trust him and enjoy life. Life is just a journey. Live today. Tomorrow may not be. Huh. Tad of Torah from Charlie Chaplin. Okie doke. All right. So we talked about it. I don't even want to. Let's not talk about it. Apartheid, Russia. This is good. Okay. Before we go on, I want to just tell you this is, came this across this, and it really touched my heart. An obituary in the New York Times this week to a name that may not be familiar with all of you, but I sat up. Herbert Stempel. Okay, even the name is like a Woody Allen film. Herbert Stempel. Herbert Stempel was a whistleblower in the quiz show scandals of, I believe, the 1950s. I have to look at the dates. Yeah. 1958, he was it. I am a big film fan. As you know, I have very strong opinions about performing artists who have something to teach us about morality and teach us about life and teach us about politics. Shut up. Having said that, I'm a big film fan, a big film buff, and one of my favorite films was Quiz Show. 1994 Quiz Show. If you haven't seen it, please download it, find it. It was directed by the very talented, the very moral, and the always searching and seeking Robert Redford. And it starred one of my favorite actors, John Turturro, playing Herbert Stempel. So Herbert Stempel was a nerdy guy. I think he worked for the USP. He enrolled in City College in New York, a very typical Jewish story, very bright guy. He was a son of Solomon and Mary Stempel, gifted student. I think he had, I don't even know what his IQ was, but he had a near photographic memory, and he was a big fan of the quiz show, the $64,000 question. This was the precursor, by the way, to Jeopardy, the 10,000, you know, all of these shows. I'm going blank because I want to get to the whole obituary. So there was a show called 21, and he won about $50,000, which today I don't even know what that would be. And he was five appearances, and the entire country tuned in to watch this guy. He would sweat. He was unappealing. He was not handsome. It reminded me a little bit. The story was a tad about, reminded me about the Richard Nixon, John Kennedy debate when Nixon was ill, had a 5 o'clock shadow, and was wearing a tweed jacket as opposed to Kennedy, who really, his answers were not nearly as poignant, not nearly as targeted, not nearly as well thought out as Nixon. And Nixon lost the election that night during the debate because of his appearance. So you think about Herbert Stempel. Stempel died, but he signed a contract that he wouldn't tell. And the fact was he was provided with coaching on the answers and how to deliver them and in his five appearances. And then he was assigned to be replaced by Charles Van Doren, who was a very suave, very smooth English instructor at Columbia University. And what happened was Stempel broke the scandal. And it's an ugly film, a passionate film, an interesting film. Really see it. So it really is a story of note. I love Herbert Stempel. I would have married him. Okay, here's the story. Finito la papito. Ah! Victimization. Abbas. I hate this guy. What is this one? Oh, okay. Yeah. Mohammed Abbas. I guess, you know, he played his cards. He played his cards not so well. And he said, we're going to pull out of the peace process. And we gave a national yawn, indeed. So what is he doing? He does what he does. Thieves steal, liars lie, cheats, winners win, okay? Here we have a boss who has provided nothing to his people, and he came out with this. I love this. Oh, annexation. Let me explain something about annexation, okay? When you win a war, or when you win many wars that you did not instigate, that you did not ask for, that you participated in response to outside brutality, and you win, you're called the winner, and the winner decides. Annexation, taking parts of Israel that fall under our sovereignty, that we provide and we feed and we protect, and announcing that they are ours because they are ours, no defense. You don't get to dictate terms. You don't get to dictate terms when you have never come to the table with kindness, with open hands, with flexibility. You don't dictate only the land of the Jews, those feckless Jews. Do we even allow him a voice? this shame, this busha. And I know that I have many, many Arab listeners who write to me. I have rahmanis on you, mercy on you. You get it, and you have nowhere to go with your truth. This is the best you can do? Joe Biden is the best America can do? Donald Trump is the best America could do? Abbas says that annexation will cause unprecedented violence. No, it's not unprecedented. Streets are boiling. Your streets are always boiling because your kids aren't in school. The streets are always boiling because you have robbed them of hope. Here is your answer. You don't know how the Palestinian street is boiling, says Mahmoud al-Habash. Every home, every young person can turn into a powder keg if Israel carries out the annexation. When a person loses hope for peace and justice, he can turn into a bomb. Let me help you with something. Shame on you and your ivory towers. Sitting on your fat money piles. Donated to you by stupid Westerners and dopey Europeans who sit around singing figurative kumbaya and think that only if you are given a land called Palestine, you'll conduct yourself like human beings. You have robbed your children. You have robbed your young people. You have robbed generation upon generation of hope, of dreams. You've sacrificed them on the altars of your own bank accounts, you pigs. And then he goes, well, but we're not making threats. This is the reality. And once again, let's blame. He blames Netanyahu. He's pushing the region to an explosion. He's opening the gates of violence. You know what I do? I rip you up. I toss you aside. I've given you health care, finance, jobs, hope, dreams. What you have done to your children, I only hope I have a front row seat on your day of reckoning. Okay, that is that. All right, and one more time, 30 seconds I have left to tell you that the PA is determined, the Palestinian, determined to remit terror salaries, payments to terrorists, those who bomb, those who mutilate, those who stab, those who incite. Will, don't worry, you'll get your coffers. They're going to be filled again. Oh, wait a second, you Americans, didn't they agree not to do that? Take it off the table? Andrea Simmental, I'll see you on the other side. Yawn.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobecker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, Andrea Simmental, we are back, taking a deep breath. I had my wink, wink, coffee, wink. All right. Okay. I'm laughing. Frank from Holland. Good morning, Frank from the Netherlands. He just congratulated me on my last rant, and I have a secret to share with you. I'm not allowed to rant at home. Poor Ronnie. He likes it quiet. So I know it's hard to believe, but I'm actually a quiet person in my own life here. Right? I really whisper. Even on Israel News Talk Radio, it's been said to me that this is one of the calmer shows. Listen, you know what you get when you listen to us here at Israel News Talk Radio. We tell it like it is. Docile, we are not. Okay. So again, I think we've covered it. Victimhood. Victim is not, remember, even victims have choices. Okay. Not everything works out to the way we want it to be, but remember, we're not cogs in the wheel. We're building blocks. All right. Parshas Naso. The Parsha, the Torah portion, is Naso. So much. Okay, let me see if I can drag it out. I love this stuff. I love preparing for this show. It actually is making me a little bit more informed. So we speak a lot of Hebrew here, and usually when certain people engineer the show, they correct my Hebrew because I use a lot of words in Hebrew that I'm not realizing that not everybody gets. Duh. So I'm going to try it here. So the Torah portion this week, you're smart listeners, you know, let's just tie it into the events of the world. And the world is burning. But let me tell you something. Actually, I didn't even write this down. But the word esh is how you say fire. Fire in Hebrew, the letters aleph, yud, shin, esh. And what's incredible about the word fire is fire has two abilities. Fire can create. Remember the Iron Age, food, building it for warmth. Fire has enormous potential. But fire can also destroy. Nothing has the potential to rip down, tear, and reduce to ashes, both really and figuratively, as fire. Do you know what the word for man is in Hebrew? Ish. Sounds familiar? The same spelling, a different accent. Nevertheless, man is the embodiment of fire. Man can create limitless in his potential, can create, can build, can plant seeds, can show, can mold, can weld, and man can destroy. It's our decision this morning, throughout the day, every moment of the day. Are we an ish or are we ish? Each one of us has the choice. That was just a little aside. Okay. Parsha, Naso. Every Jew, whether a righteous Jew, whether a wicked Jew, this is a Chabad, a Lubavitcher kind of a philosophy, but the thought is that we have two souls. One soul clothes itself in the person's blood to animate the body. The soul, I need new clothing. Oh, how's my moisturizer working? It's a source of our egocentric drives, of our desires. But the second soul is literally a part of God above. Every one of us has a piece of God within us. And do we sit and we preserve it in schmutz, in feces, in foulness, or do we preserve it in something that's pristine? Do we take this piece and use it every day to unite with the larger being, the God? The body is called a small city. Just like two kings wage a war over a city, each king wants to capture it and rule over it. It's to say to govern the city and the inhabitants according to the king's will, so that each one obeys him. And the things that are decreed for him, this is what comes down to our souls. This is just like the two souls, the godly soul and the animal soul, waging war against each other, waging war against all our organs and all of our limbs. The desire and the will of God's soul is that it alone should rule over the person and direct him, and all of our limbs should obey it and surrender themselves completely to it and become a vehicle for it, to use our legs to run and do good, to use our mouths to speak kindly, to use our hands to serve and offer and knit and sow seed, serve as a vehicle. The entire body should be permeated with them alone, the exclusion of any alien influence, I'm reading to you, God forbid, while the animal soul desires the very opposite. I thought that was very, very nice and certainly reflective of what we're going through. It's from the writings of the Tanya. Okay. We say in Hebrew, Chazal. It's an abbreviation of the sages, okay? All right. So we interpret the first sentence of the Pirkat Kohanim, okay? It's like a double set. The blessings of the priest, the priestly blessings. See? I need reminders. As a double-edged sword. Here we go. May God bless you. Okay? Bless you with possessions and keep those possessions from possessing you. The accumulation of money, wealth, possessions, it can corrupt us. It can corrupt our personalities, corrupt our patterns of living. My gosh, I don't know about you. I open up Facebook, I drown in ads. Constantly, you know that I'm looking like for knee medications. I get knee pads, orthopedic shoes. I look for a chair. I'm drowning because they know about my animal soul. Possessions can make us forget our family, can make us forget our friends, can alienate us from our traditions, our holy traditions, whatever they are. I ask all of us, you know, to feel connected. It's something for us to think about at our Shabbos tables this week. How to keep ourselves from the damages of wealth and possessions and all the goodness with which we've been blessed. Came across this interesting, the Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the priests, has to be performed with raised hands. Okay, you will see that, you know, in all of the holy, you see the two hands raised and the separated pinky and thumb and the three fingers in the middle pointing in. It's a famous, you know, a lot of Jewish art contains that. It has to be performed with raised hands and can't be transmitted with mere words alone. Rabbi Yosef Karo, who is actually the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the abbreviated version of the Code of Jewish Law, write these things down. It's interesting. If a person is troubled or in need of help, it's not sufficient to just offer him our best wishes and turn our backs. Warm regards. Keep in touch. Let me know if you need anything. We have to take our oral blessings, take them a step further, raise our hands, be willing to inconvenience ourselves and alleviate the suffering of our fellow human beings. A half of a bracha is not a bracha. It's with the mouth. It's with the hands. God says, build me a sanctuary so I may dwell in them. Let me see how I'm doing here. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Build me a sanctuary so I may dwell in them. Some might say that in the two parshas, the parsha of the portions of Bamidbar in the desert and Naso, they're boring, you know? Where's the rapes? Where's the blood? Where's the stealing? Where's the deception, the stabbing in the back? Indeed, you know, both of them deal exclusively with transportation of the tabernacle. Boring. The encampment around it. Boring. The dedication of it. Boring. Counting people. No. Why all this attention to detail? Why repeat these contributions of every tribal prince 12 times when every contribution was exactly the same? Because we know that every letter and every word of the Torah has such an importance. We have to consider it, that all of this is devoted exclusively to the details, because the answer to this question is that the offering of every tribal prince is the same. The significance of it is different. For example, let me just, the tribe of Yehuda, Judah, two oxen, okay, where they'd offered, they're told to give two oxen. Well, two oxen means King David and King Solomon to Judah. To the tribe of Benjamin, it means Mordecai and Esther. To the tribe of Asher, two oxens mean the written and oral law. Identical references, different meaning. You know, the Torah repeats each offering to emphasize the importance, the uniqueness of the individual. Let's look at the events of the week. The individual is counted. Each tribe's offering is stated separately because despite the magnificence of this tabernacle, man is what is important, and each individual has his place and contribution in relation to the tabernacle. Let's talk about our kitchen table. Every one of us has a table upon which we eat. Is it just a table, a place we bring our cell phones, a place where we talk about the shtiyot, the stupidity of the week, or do we make it a mizbeach, an altar, the center of our home? How clean are the hands that approach and eat our meals? The tabernacle is not going to be rebuilt, but God doesn't want palaces. He wants a nation to serve him. The emphasis on both the tabernacle and our services remind us of our religious and human interdependence. Shabbat Shalom from Holy Jerusalem.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.